Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to all of the 5 a.m. listeners. If you are out there in traffic right now, out there on the highways going to work, or you're already doing work, which if you're doing work at 5 a.m., then damn, keep doing work. So I want to get into a couple of things. For one, I want to go through the next three games in this 49ers schedule and try and understand which one has the most uncertainty right now. Because with the Bengals and the Steelers and the Browns, it felt like, well, with the Bengals, you didn't know whether they were going to get that number one overall pick next season because of how bad they might be. But Zach Taylor has them cooking. Well, not cooking, because they did lose to the Seahawks after all. But he at least has them looking like a competent team that we didn't think they'd be. The Steelers got pummeled by the Patriots in a national spotlight, in the national spotlight, which we never see from the Steelers. And of course, the Browns were on every single magazine cover, Baker Mayfield's in 1,000 commercials, all to get rolled by the Titans. So I don't know what to make of the next three teams, and I want to know which ones you feel are the most uncertain if you're a 49er fan, and if you're a Raider fan, which one on the road do you actually, what is the record do you think that's going to be on the road? Because the Chiefs coming up at home, you know what you're going to get with them. You know what you're going to get with the Chiefs. But on the road, these teams, the Vikings, the Colts, they all, and the Bears, they all look different. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And also, I want to go through the top five fantasy players in the Bay Area that you would choose this week. If you had to just make a lot, just with the top five on both teams, 49ers or Raiders, which players would you choose for fantasy if you had to choose your top five right now after we have a week of evaluation in the books? But we just got the text from the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, and this is something that I wanted to discuss. I didn't want to start the show out with this because I was hoping there would be some more positive news, but from the 650, Jay Abram out for the season, hope for a speedy recovery. And that is true. From Tom Pelissero of NFL Network on Twitter, as I close the tweet out by mistake, I'm going to open it again. Be patient with me. Be patient with me. It happens. Raiders safety Jonathan Abram is going on injured reserve, source said, because of the shoulder injury that Josina Anderson and Adam Lefko mentioned. That was last night. Terrible break for promising first-round pick and the Oakland defense. What Mike Mayock was brought to Oakland to do, it wasn't to try and handle what was going on with Antonio Brown. It wasn't to do that. It was to make these draft picks, these ones that they traded away Khalil Mack for, these ones that Amari Cooper were gone for. He came here so that he could draft guys that are under the radar, guys that maybe others don't need and that the Raiders do. And Jonathan Abram was under that umbrella, and it was looking good after week one with the performances of Cleveland Furrow, Josh Jacobs, and then Jonathan Abram as well. I think the most surprising news to me about that report, though, was it was a torn rotator cuff, and it was also a problem with the labrum, Abram's labrum. And and I don't mean to make a joke about that, but I just couldn't help with that. They actually rhymed. But No, look, I didn't know that he got injured in the first quarter, and to play for the rest of the game with a torn rotator cuff? Are you kidding me? And with that hit he put on, and Garion Conley could be playing this upcoming week. He mentioned on Twitter yesterday that they were just taking the necessary precaution by putting him on the stretcher and going out. And so with the head and neck and what was going on with that, they were putting him on the stretcher and took him off the field just so they could be precautious, so as to nothing, but so as to just notice that nothing was wrong with him. And now we see that he could be playing in week two. But Jonathan Abram made that hit on the receiver, and I was just like, all right, he led with his, he was called for leading with his helmet, but really it was kind of 50% his shoulder, 50% his helmet, and I'm just thinking, damn, how did he even do that with a torn rotator cuff? And this is just such a big blow for the Raiders right now, because you didn't know what you were going to get from Carl Joseph, who seems to be back on track. And I think that he could be a better safety than we've seen him in the past. Now, he's been okay. He's been all right, but he hasn't been living up to that first round billing that we hoped he lived up or hoped he would live up to after that big season. But I just think that with Jonathan Abram, with LaMarcus Joyner, and with Carl Joseph, along with what was going on with the linebackers and the defensive line, I thought that this defense was much improved and something to be reckoned with. But now he is out for the season, and I was just surprised because no one mentioned anything. It wasn't mentioned after the game. And last night, the first thing you got was from Josina Anderson of ESPN saying, oh, he has a torn rotator cuff and could need surgery, likely out for the season. And then Adam Lefko of Bleacher Report, who he's always in on the Raiders. He's plugged in, and he said that a source was telling him it was likely. So right now, they're going to be riding with Curtis Riley, who played his first full season in the NFL last year with the Giants. He's been in the league for a few years now, and he actually got 4 picks last year, 5 passes broken up, 73 combined tackles. So he's not much of that hard hitter that Jonathan Abram was. He will be a ball hawk, though. We'll see how Curtis Riley does in his stead, but maybe there was something wrong with Jonathan Abram beforehand. Because there are no safeties put on the practice squad, and Curtis Riley was not. So maybe they knew something that we didn't, and then it was a lingering issue, and then he went out there and he's that type of safety, though, that you don't see all that often anymore, because it's just they're trying to take that hard hitting safety out of it. If you had to choose one position they're going to try and just feed off of dudes that are going for passes over the middle, safety's that. And Jonathan Abram was that kind of old school hard hitting, reminds you of, I don't know if I'm going to put a Raider player comparison to it. I'm not going to say Stuart Schweigert, not going to say Tyvon Branch. Not going to say Michael Huff. I could say, I guess, Jack Tatum. I mean, that's a little too much of a comparison because Jack Tatum was Jack Tatum. But Jonathan Abram, though, it's a shame that he's out for this season. And you saw what he was like on Hard Knocks, too. He was a real one. He wasn't going to stray away from his personality. And I do think that Jonathan Abram requested just, hey, don't put me on there anymore after that first episode when he was put into the national spotlight and everyone was criticizing him over the salmon and salmon incident. I don't think he wanted to be on Hard Knocks after that, but that's neither here nor there. From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, even after the game, post-game interview, he said he was looking forward to next week. It's like this was... he was supposed to be part of this new wave of guys, and he was one of this new wave of players that were trying to make you at least forget that they're going to Vegas next season and that they could win maybe right now. They have a tough schedule on the road, but He was giving you he was a player that you would look forward to watching. I think right now Josh Jacobs has become that guy. Cleveland Farrell has become that guy. Damn, pronounced it Farrell for the first time. But Cleveland Farrell has become that guy. And Jonathan Abram was that guy. Your three first-round picks, they were looking like they could be actual players. And now one of them ends up going out for the season because of a torn rotator cuff that we didn't really know about. And I just think that that's... it's about as unfortunate of an injury that could come about because he was just a missile out there. He was a missile just on the run game, on the passing game. I forgot who the wide receiver was. I got to look that up, but he was going for a catch out of bounds and he might have gotten both feet down if it wasn't for Jonathan Abram putting that hit on him. It might have been Emmanuel Sanders or Cortland Sutton, because those were the only two really doing anything for the Broncos in that game. No, for the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, sorry. I said that Carl Joseph was Mike and Vallejo. Sorry, didn't mean to confuse you. Said I'm confused. First you said Carl Joseph was done for the season. Now you're saying Jonathan Abram is done for the season. Which one is it? I said Jonathan Abram. Yeah, Jonathan Abram out for the season. Carl Joseph is fine. Carl Joseph is fine. Sorry if I confused you. It's early in the morning. I might have jumbled up my words. I'm saying that Carl Joseph, though, he is looking like the first rounder that the late first rounder that they wanted him to be, because in the past couple of seasons, he hasn't been great. He's been relatively mediocre. But in this last game with LaMarcus Joyner along with Jonathan Abram, they look like they were a force to be reckoned with at the safety position. But now Jonathan Abram, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, is out for the season and will be put on injured reserve because of this torn rotator cuff. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, it's been 10 minutes, and this was the biggest story for me, but the A's and what they did to the Astros yesterday, it's like... What? I think every game... I hope there are new baseball fans that are just coming here now. It's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to start watching baseball. And the first one they watched was yesterday's game where the Astros were taking it to them. And then the second game they've ever watched was this last game where the A's put up a 21 spot against the Astros. And really, if you think about it, not for the A's, but for the Astros, these games are kind of meaningless because the Astros are going to win the West. And for the A's, they're most likely going to make that wild card. They're making baseball interesting right now in September. They're making baseball very interesting in September. And when the time comes, I'm very curious to see who they're going to trot out there as that ace in the wild card game for that one game playoff. But that's neither here nor there. Look, so Jonathan Abram out for the season. It's unfortunate for the Raiders. It's sad. And what Mike Mayock was brought in to do was to make those draft picks in the first round and make correct ones. Cleveland Farrell, not on everybody's board, but he seems to be living up to it. And obviously with Gerrion Conley, we don't know if he's good for week two. Could be good for week two. And he brought Trayvon Mullen in from Clemson as well. But Jonathan Abram, Josh Jacobs, Cleveland Farrell, those were the first-round picks that he brought in. And Jonathan Abram ends up being out for the season. All right. We will continue to mention that throughout the show. But really, there's only so much you could say about it because it's just unfortunate for such a young guy who looks like he was going to have a promising rookie season. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 510. Should the Raiders go after Eric Berry? We'll discuss that next. Stephen Langford on the pregame show. Anna Kaganakis is out today. She'll be back hopefully tomorrow. In with you on 95.7 The Game. But Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network has tweeted out that Jonathan Abram is out for the season. Safety for the Raiders. First round pick. Guy who was meant to be part of their future going into Vegas. You saw him against the Broncos. It was a solid debut for Jonathan Abram, and it looked like the Raiders had a little bit of promise for those first-round picks, and now he is out for the season, which is unfortunate. And from the Chilton Autobody text line, there's a couple of texts here. Now, are there any free agent safeties that you want? Because the 510 said, should the Raiders go after Eric Berry? As I try and just actually get my words out here. But I'm looking at these free agents right now. And you got Eric Berry. Glover Quinn of Lions fame at one point. He was actually pretty good. Now, he's older, but Eric Berry's still 30 years old. He still could be a productive safety. It's a question as to whether he would want to come here. TJ McDonald, safety from the Dolphins, who was just cut for salary reasons because, you know, he's an example of how they're tanking. When you cut veteran players that you can't afford and you just want more draft picks and cheaper guys, they cut TJ McDonald. So there are options out there. And from the 510 on the Chill Not a Body text line, why is he out with a torn rotator cuff? If you got the updates yesterday or last night, I should treat it as such, but I shouldn't treat it as such, I guess. But Adam Lefko of Bleacher Report tweeted out that his source said that he could likely be out for the season. He said that last night. Josina Anderson was the first one on the report. And then Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network confirmed that he will be put on IR and is out for the season. Here's the issue with trying to trade for anyone, though. You got to go for a free agent. That's just it. You got to go for a free agent. You know why? Because you wasted a third and a fifth on Antonio Brown for nothing. And his whole story that's going on with the Patriots right now, I'm not going to discuss that. That's their issue. I don't think that's worth a discussion here because that's just too divisive right now. That's just way too much. But we're going to stick to just some football here, some actual football instead of what's going on with Antonio Brown and the Patriots. But it just doesn't seem like there's a possibility that they could trade. And from the 510 on the Chill Not a Body text line, Raiders need to trade for quarterback Minkah Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Let's go, Dolphins. Continue to tank. Give us a safety out here in the Bay Area. Oh, man. But you look through it, though. Eric Berry seems to be the best option out of the free agent safeties. And for the most part, a lot of them are already signed, but Eric Berry is up there. And I don't know what his value would be, though. You could sign him to a one-year deal. And I think I don't know what his value would be. Right now, you're paying LaMarcus Joyner $10 million for this season. So I don't know what is going to – I don't know what his market value's at right now at the current moment. I'd assume it would be somewhere within the – if I'm looking at contracts right now and you give him it fully guaranteed just for 1 year, could be somewhere within the 7 to 10 million range. And I'm not sure what the Raiders' salary cap is like at the moment. I got to look more of that up, but – I'd think they would have the money in order to actually spend it on a free agent safety to take over for Jonathan Abram. Right now, they got Curtis Riley, who was the third stringer to start out on the depth chart, and he had 4 interceptions last year, which was pretty good. But overall, though, it seems like you already got that guy with LaMarcus Joyner. You hope you have that guy who just plays also in. He also plays nickel corner, too. He's not just a safety. You can't just go out there and trot 2 safeties. I don't think that's how this defense is going to work. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, bring Charles Woodson out of retirement. I mean, wouldn't it be the worst idea? Looked pretty good in that last season. By the way, I was at Charles Woodson's last game. That was emotional. At his last Raider game. Because he came out and he did the whole speech, started chanting Raiders, and this was also around the time that they said they were going to be moving out of Oakland. It was an emotional time. Saying the Raiders are going to be moving out of Oakland while having Charles Woodson say, oh yeah, by the way, this is my last game. You know, thank you to all the fans and everything. We knew it was going to be his last game, obviously, but just seeing it actually there is like, ugh. It was brutal. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, George Iloka. Ooh, there's Iloka or Ioka? Iloka? I know he's from the Bengals. And, I mean, you saw what Paul Gunther did with you saw what Paul Gunther did with Vontaze Burfict. You brought him in. He is currently a free agent right now. He is a free agent right now. George Iloka is a free agent. So that could be, I mean, that could be something. Man, I don't see them trading for anyone. Just because I don't think they want to give up any more draft picks. When you bring in a GM like Mike Mayock, who's not really even there to try and to straighten things out with the actual team, with the actual roster, he was brought in to make draft picks because he's been that pro. And seeing what he did with Jonathan Abram, Cleland Furl, and Josh Jacobs, had some faith in him. And you know why he's here, and you understand why they brought him here. Now Jonathan Abram is out for the season. I don't think they're going to trade any more draft picks, though, because they have a GM who actually brings some value to those draft picks. It's not just a situation like when they're trying to build, especially John Gruden, too. When he's trying to build in a situation where he's here for eight more years, he's with the Raiders for eight more years, rather, and they go away to Vegas, then he wants something for the future. And trading away a draft picks for the reason you would trade away draft picks would be you're trying to win right now. And I think that with these other teams in the NFL, they understand that they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. It would be in their best interest, in my opinion, just to sign a free agent. And the 510 brought it up on the Chilton Autobody text line right at the beginning of the segment. But, you know, bringing in Eric Berry, that'd be interesting because you'd seen him on the Chiefs. You'd seen him play the Raiders twice a year for a few years now. And I think that, that could be something if they bring him in. But what's his market value at? How much are they willing to spend on a safety? Because you look at the top ones right now, Kevin Byard of the Titans, he's the highest paid safety at the moment for this year. He's got a $14.1 million contract for this year, $70 million total, and he's 26 years old. Eric Berry suffered an injury, but he could be back. He could be back, as well as the other health issues that he had. But he could come back and play at a level that I think would be serviceable, at least for any NFL team. So it's just a question of whether Eric Berry wants to come back too. How he's feeling about the offseason. Has he worked out? Has he kept in shape? Has he kept in football shape? Or has he been in enjoying just his time, just not playing football? And from the 925, all these free agent safeties are free agents for a reason. Yeah, and that's why I kind of looked, though, at a T.J. McDonald, who's relatively young. He was on the Dolphins, and he's not a terrible safety, but he's one who can stop the run, and I don't think that's what Curtis Riley is a pro at, who is the backup free safety that the Raiders have right now. So I think that going forward, it would be in their best interest just to sign a free agent instead of getting rid of draft picks and making a kind of panic move. That's just not what they're – I don't think that's in their best interest right now. I don't think that's in their best interest right now. But it's just an unfortunate injury, though, overall. If we're not even just talking about how they're going to solve this, just looking at the type of guy that Jonathan Abram was, he kind of had that childlike mentality where you could tell that he loves the game. He loved playing his position. He loved going out there and hitting people. And granted, it looked like his play was kind of there was some reckless moments at times where you're thinking, all right, please stay healthy for your career, because that dude can hit and it was enjoyable to watch. And the fact that he was apparently injured in the first quarter, and he was going out there with a torn rotator cuff without knowing that it was a torn rotator cuff for the next three quarters. I give a lot of props to Jonathan Abram, but I mean, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, I have a cold and I'll be like, oh man, my voice is messed up. I don't know if I could talk on the air the next morning. I mean, I do it. I push through it. Tough radio host. 5:30 in the morning. I'm not putting the 5 a.m. slot because I'm weak. Putting the 5 a.m. slot because I'm tough. All right. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Feel free to text in or call in with your thoughts on Jonathan Abram. But I do want to move on and look ahead at the schedule, because when it comes to the Niners schedule and you're looking at the games before the bye week and the Bengals, the Steelers, as well as the Browns at home, I am wondering, which team do you feel like there's more uncertainty when you're going against them? Because you had three different thoughts for those three different things, three different teams. For one, with the Bengals, you thought there's a possibility that they could be the worst team in the NFL and that they are ready for that one, number one overall pick. But then you watched them in week one against the Seahawks and you're like, they're actually kind of good. And then you look at the Steelers and they got rolled by the Patriots. What was it? 33-3. They got rolled by the Patriots. You've never seen the Steelers play like that in a primetime NFL game, especially against the Patriots. Have they regressed at all? Was that a fluke? And the Browns, I mean, they got served by the Titans, but also the Browns got 18 penalties. So you don't know if what their team is like unless they actually play a cleaner ball game. So Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Which matchup before the bye week, if you're a 49er fan, has more uncertainty attached to it? And then if you're a Raider fan, I want to know what your record is on the road, what you think it's going to be now. Now that we have week one in the books, you've seen what this Raider team is like. They were already projected to have under 6 wins by any insider, analyst, expert out there because of their strength of schedule. We know what the Chiefs are going to be. But on the road, what do you think their record needs to be in order to at least to keep you engaged in the season? Because last season, yeah, you might have been engaged because you're a regular football fan and you enjoy watching the Raiders. But also, I mean, last season was just, it was last season. It wasn't great. Derek Carr didn't have that confidence that he had in week one. So Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. And also, who are going to be your top five fantasy pickups from the Bay Area this week? Stephen Langford in with you. Anna Kakadaki's out. Hopefully she'll be back tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game. So I want to know from 49er fans as well as Raider fans what you think of the schedule going forward. And I want to know, you have a week under your belt now, right? You've seen what this team could be. The Raiders, they played an undisciplined football game where it looked like they were playing to what their potential is. The 49ers, the defense was playing to their potential, but I don't think the offense did. I think they can have a much higher ceiling than that, than what they gave us against the Buccaneers. Without those penalties, who knows what could have been? So I want to know your thoughts going on the schedule going forward, because the 49ers, not only am I uncertain about what they're going to bring because I don't feel like I saw them play at their best. I feel like if they played their best, they could beat almost anyone. But not only did they not play their best, but also the teams going forward with the Browns and the Steelers, I don't know if they played their best either, or is that what they are? The Bengals, they seem to be buttoned up. They seem to be under Zach Taylor, without Marvin Lewis anymore. Andy Dalton was thriving with that offense. He did throw for 400 yards. It's like, and they did this against the Seahawks defense. You could say this was a Seahawks regression, but is that a regression from the Seahawks, or are the Bengals just this good? The defensive coordinator has taken them out of this base 4-3 defense that they're so used to, and now they're starting to use a 3-4, but really they're using a 3-4, but really they're using most of those linebackers as pass rushers now. And they've been good against the run. So I want to know what you think about these teams going forward. What will their records be with the Bengals, with the Steelers, with the Browns? And that's all before the bye week. But with the Bengals, I don't know what to make of them. You're going to their home stadium. You're playing a 10 a.m. game. Now, the the Niners are staying in Youngstown, so it's not like the jet lag or the travel is going to be an issue. They're not going to be 3 hours behind or 3 hours ahead. But which team are you most uncertain about right now heading into that bye week? Are you most uncertain about the Bengals? Are you most uncertain about the Steelers? Or are you most uncertain about the Browns? And I think the one for me, I'm going to say the Browns. The Steelers, I think that was a fluke. I really do. I think the Patriots were just that good. The Patriots are, I think they're head and shoulders above any team right now, and it not because of their offense, just because Tom Brady looked like the surgeon that he continued to be against the Patriots or against the Steelers, the surgeon that he's always been. But that defense, it was a new look defense. That's it. It was something that we hadn't seen before, and I think the Steelers were caught off guard, and I think they will bring you that offensive power that they can bring. Now, the defense, no defense looks good against Tom Brady and the Patriots, so I think that going forward, when you have T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Bud Dupree, all those guys, Joe Hayden didn't look all that great, but I wonder which team has the most uncertainty heading into this bye week here. And for me, though, it's going to be the Browns, because the Browns in the end had 18 penalties from the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Browns were so hyped, have a ton of talent, can definitely see what and Hyde type of season. You misspelled whatever you were typing there. But the reason they were so hyped, though, is because of that talent. And there is a reason that they were hyped. It's not like you can't just go into the season, that was a bad team. No, there's a reason that they have a 9-win total. That's a reason why Vegas had them going over or under 9 wins before the season. It's like there's a reason for it. And when they go out there with 18 penalties, you don't know what they're going to give you. And so it's like going into that game, I don't know how that game is going to be. Now, that one's farther down the road, but also with the Bengals and the fact that Joe Mixon, he might not be playing there. He had a sprained ankle. And so they're waiting to see if they're taking it day to day and they're waiting for him to play in week two. They'll probably make that a game time decision. But regardless, if you have Joe Mixon not really healthy, then do the 49ers just already have that advantage before that injury even came about? I just don't know what to make of it. I just don't know what to make of either of those teams right now. And if you're a Raider fan looking at the schedule ahead and you're looking at the Vikings, the Colts, the Bears, the Packers, the Texans, then I need one more here at home, and then the Texans are the last road game. So if you're looking at, I always forget that the Bears are technically, they're both on the road, but the Raiders get it counted as a home game in England. I got to remember that, and the fact that they're going to Tottenham is not home of the Raiders. But anyway, if you're looking at their away schedule, though, the Vikings, the Colts, the Bears, the Packers, and the Texans, so there's one, two, three, four, you're looking at 5 games. Which of those 5, how do you see the record playing out? Do you see them going 2-3? You see them going 1-4? What would be a good enough record for you to leave that road trip? And it's a road trip, even though there is a home game involved. But going back to the Niners schedule leading up to the bye week, though, I just don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of it because with the 49ers and what they did on offense, if that offense continues to struggle like they did not have a good game. The offense did not. You got to remember that 2 of the touchdowns that they got were from pick sixes. So really, it was 17 to, they got 17 points on offense. And so what do you make of that? I don't know if you get 17 points against a Buccaneers defense, which was stout, And they had those two defensive tackles who were able to spread things out for the linebackers and let the linebackers run wild. But that offense didn't do all that great. And the Bengals, they don't have many players on defense that you might have heard of, but they also have a chemistry right now with a new defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo, I believe his name is. And he has things changed up. He has them playing to a point where he's going to put the best player he feels on the field. And he held the Seahawks to under 20 points, which is not easy to do. Speaking of which, though, speaking of the 49er offense, there were some comments from Michael Silver of the NFL Network, and he's going to join Jolo and Dibs coming up later today. But he had some interesting comments here regarding Jimmy Garoppolo, and also from the 415, they had three touchdowns called back. Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't – that's kind of why I'm going into it with a lot of uncertainty, because you don't know what a team is with the 11 penalties, and it's the same with the Browns. You don't know what a team is with the 18 penalties. And the fact is, though, if those – but the fact is, would they have been touchdowns if those penalties weren't incurred, if those players didn't – have those penalties, would you have been able to get those touchdowns? I don't know if that's a certain thing. That's what always gets lost in the sauce when you're talking about penalties that negate touchdowns. It's always the same with every single team. If you get a penalty that negates a touchdown, well, would it have been the same play if that penalty wasn't existing? Would it have been the same play if the player wasn't committing that penalty? I don't know. George Kittle might have been open, but The linebacker that Kyle Juszczyk was blocking in that first time, I mean, he could have been on George Kittle. You don't know. You never know. They did have those touchdowns called back, but in the end, the plays, if those penalties weren't committed and you don't know what the player was doing, then I don't know if the touchdown would have happened. And it's the same thing with every single team. But Michael Silver, though, he had some interesting comments, and I don't agree with this necessarily. He says this could happen, but I don't agree with what Mike Silver is saying. I don't think they should do something this drastic.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you saw the touchdown. He also threw a pick six. You know, rough moments in the preseason. He's coming back from the knee injury. Guys, keep an eye on this. Nick Mullins is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback. He is almost a savant when it comes to understanding the offense. He really, really executes it in a way that Kyle Shanahan likes. If Jimmy Garoppolo struggles or continues to struggle and they're either losing or he's not playing well or both, I don't think it's that far-fetched that they could make a quarterback switch earlier than some people might imagine.
I think making a quarterback switch is such a panic move. You got to wait till the season's over if you're going to make a quarterback switch. Making one in the middle of the season for your franchise quarterback, regardless of how bad he's playing, I don't think that's right, because on the Chilton Autobody text line from the 831, Jimmy G placed the ball in the right spot and threw a touchdown. He deserves credit for that. You saw what that Richie James touchdown was. That was an excellent play by Jimmy Garoppolo. He was in the shotgun. He looked right. Notice he didn't have any wide receivers open on the right. Then he looked left, saw Richie James, threw a perfect ball to him last second. And that's something that Jimmy Garoppolo can do. And I think that if you're making a quarterback switch in the middle of the season, I mean, what does that say about how Kyle Shanahan feels about the signing in the first place? If you're going to do that. I mean, this might just be Mike Silver's opinion. This might not be fact-based. I got to listen to it again. Let's listen to it again together. And here, did he say that there was a source involved?
Jimmy Garoppolo, you saw the touchdown. He also threw a pick six. You know, rough moments in the preseason. He's coming back from the knee injury. Guys, keep an eye on this. Nick Mullins is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback. He is almost a savant when it comes to understanding the offense. He really, really executes it in a way that Kyle Shanahan likes. If Jimmy Garoppolo struggles or continues to struggle and they're either losing or he's not playing well or both, I don't think it's that far-fetched that they could make a quarterback switch earlier than some people might imagine.
Yeah, I think that's just an opinion by the sound of it. But also, Mike Silver is plugged in and he knows these things, and he could know something that just us regular fans don't know. But I think that Jimmy Garoppolo has shown flashes. You saw what he did in that week three game with that pass. I believe it was to Dante Pettis. It was just a ball that was in between two defenders where he can only place it in one specific spot, and he's been able to do that. And if you give him some protection also, then who knows, because he did have the – if you're looking at the next-gen stats, I love this. Nice guy Steven with the next-gen stats, NGS with the NGS. He had the least amount of time in between the snap. From the time the ball was snapped into his hands to from the time he released it, he threw it quicker than any quarterback in the NFL. It was only 2.1 seconds in between snap time and throw time. Now, you can account that for either A, that offensive line just wasn't giving him any help, or B, he was looking at his first read, not even going through his progressions, and then just getting it out quick. Because you did see that from throws 10 to 20 yards out, he was 0 for 5. I don't think that week one was what Jimmy Garoppolo is. I don't think it is. And if you are going to make a quarterback switch in the middle of the season, I mean, what does that say for the future? I don't think anyone's thinking Nick Mullins is a quarterback for the future. Where do you go from there? It's like, I think that it's so far-fetched, but it would be just such a mistake, because you know, like, Jimmy Garoppolo, regardless of the record, regardless of the touchdowns to INTs, he's still a good, talented quarterback. Now, unless he's out there looking like Jameis Winston, where he's stepping up in the pocket, hitching 50 times before he throws the ball, okay. And if you see something's off, all right. But to just switch him out in the middle of the season coming off an ACL injury. Now, granted, the ACL injury did happen early in last year, so he's had some time to recover, and maybe that's just a cop-out of a thing. But it's just, I don't know. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is right now because of all the penalties and what happened. If the players didn't commit those penalties, say Kyle Juszczyk didn't commit those penalties, would George Kittle have been that wide open? I don't know. That's why they call those penalties. That's why they call them. But also, the defense, what they did, I think they'll be able to shoulder the load to the point where you can at least say Jimmy Garoppolo, he can't suck. He can't be a terrible quarterback, obviously, but I think he can at least be he can have that label of being mediocre to serviceable. He doesn't have to be elite. And George Kittle talked about how earlier after the game, he said that Jimmy G needs to be that leader, that guy, in order for us to get wins. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo, this defense can help him out so much that he can just be at least he can be. He could be a middle-of-the-road quarterback, I think, and the 49ers could get wins regardless. I think the defense is that good. But I don't think that taking out Garoppolo for Mullins would be advantageous at all. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Wow, we got a lot of texts here. So Bortles plays all them years without any of this talk, and he was trash. Now Jimmy has one so-so game. Everyone wants to pull the plug. That makes no sense. He's just fine. I agree. But also, that was the Jaguars. What were the Jaguars doing? Gardner Minshew, though. Shout out to him. I mean, he's a young quarterback. Also looks like he's 45. And he kind of looks like that crazy hippie uncle of your friends that you just know nothing about, but he's just out there, like, you know, say you go to like a friend's barbecue or something. He's just that hippie uncle who's out there with sunglasses on and just laughing at everything. And you're like, why is he laughing, daddy? Oh, there's reasons for that. From the 530, flashes aren't enough with the Niners' expectations. Yeah. And when, earlier this week, after they came off with a win, it was I nitpicked a little bit, right? And the win is a win thing, and the whole win is a win situation came into play. And you're right, the win is a win. But with what the insiders have said on this very radio station and the expectations that they have for the team, I set the expectations high. They said that 10 wins is where they need to be. So I set the win. I set the bar high with this team. I really did. And I still am. And what they're going to bring against week two against the Bengals, this will be the one here. Because the Bengals, I don't think they're a joke this year. Now, they're not. I'm not saying that they're – I'm not sitting here saying, oh, yeah, they're going to win the AFC North. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that they're better than the Ravens, or even the Browns, or even the Steelers. I'm not saying any of that. But they're looking like they aren't going to be that 3-13, you know, Miami Dolphin 1-15. I think they're going to get a win somewhere, but I think the Dolphins are also going to get one win. But I don't think the Bengals are going to be that lower-tier team where you just beat up on them every single week. You look at them on the schedule and you think, all right, that's a pass. They get a W for that. I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think it's going to be like that for the Bengals this year. So this upcoming week is going to be the true test. And with the Browns going into week four, I asked this question earlier, but which team has more uncertainty heading into this season when you take the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns? For me, it's still going to be the Browns. They're the same situation with the Niners. I don't know what the Niners would be without those penalties, and I don't know what the Browns would be without those penalties. 18. If you expected the Browns to win with 18 penalties, you got another thing coming as a football fan. And reevaluate your fandom. Okay, don't do that. That's rude. But, you know, just have some sense. 18 penalties. You're not seeing a team at their regular point. Maybe they're just undisciplined and they're going to get 12 penalties a game, in which case, then they're going to stink. That's pretty much where I'm at with that. From the 973 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's crazy how people expect a guy coming from an ACL injury with only 11 starts to come in and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns per game. Give the man time. From the 323 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Hang on. Oh, this is good. This is really good. Hang on. Hey, hang on. Hang on for the 323. Bro, are you serious? You must be a homer. Anyone will tell you they'd rather have Winston than Garoppolo. You want Jameis Winston over Garoppolo, 323? Oh! Okay. Apparently I'm a homer. Since I want Garoppolo over Winston. Man, I'm some Bay Area homer. No. I just happen to be a football fan with some sense. You want Jameis Winston over... Oh, my God. I mean, it's 5:56 in the morning. You didn't have to make me sick with that text. All right, sorry, 323. But, yeah, really. I mean, come on. Come on, really? You're going to look at Jameis Winston and you're thinking, oh, yeah, that last game, I want him over Jimmy Garoppolo. Come on. Come on. All right. From the 408 and the Chilton Auto Body text line, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I haven't mentioned it since. What do you think of the Raiders losing Abram? I think it's unfortunate. I think that it would be in their best interest to try and sign a free agent safety, to sign Eric Berry for just a year, maybe $7 to $10 million, and just make it guaranteed and just sign him to a one-year deal. From the 510, so if the Niners dominate the Bengals, I don't want to hear people spin it and say, oh, well, the Bengals weren't that good. Give Niners credit. I think that's where 510, I think that's where fans should be at. I think that's where fans should be at right there. If they do dominate the Bengals, you should be like, all right, now your expectations have risen. Because I really don't think the Bengals are slouches. I really don't. Not with Zach Taylor as their head coach. When you have Marvin Lewis, one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL, and you don't even win a playoff game in that time that he was there, and he was there for just almost as the same amount of time as Belichick is with the Patriots, then, yeah, I think that if you do beat the Bengals, you go in there, it's the Bengals' first home game of the season, and you dominate, there's something there with this team. I think we'll all be able to say that. And also, if they lose, though, you could take the other side of it. If they do lose to the Bengals, it's going to be an overreaction type of day. But also, I don't think it's you can say, oh, yeah, they lost to one of those slouch teams. It's not like going to be if they lose to the Cardinals both times this season. It's not going to be like if they lose to the Cardinals both times this season. All right, Jolo and Dibs are coming up. They'll have John Morosi at 6:30, Randy Cross at 7 o'clock, and Mike Silver at 9:05. And in case you're wondering who Mike Silver is, he is the one that is speculating that Nick Mullins, I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo is weak and is the reason that they're having a losing season, then Nick Mullins could take over for Jimmy Garoppolo because Kyle Shanahan's is a Nick Mullins guy. He'll join them at 9:05 so you can hear from him. Jolo and Dibs coming up. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.